Okay. We are now at basically the end of what I'll call book two, the third paragraph of book two of Michelin. We've
How
done
many books are there?
five.
Okay.
The three of them that say that start out with Mishle Shlomo, it's Mishle Shlomo, El Gamelu Mishle Shlomo. Speaker here. And then there are two of them that are Mishle Lemuel, Divrei Lemuel, kind of other thing. But they start with that kind of introduction. The first one was all about the Shema B'nei Musa Avicha, this metaphor of talking to children. And then the second one has been all kind of random little proverbs, one after the other. And the last, this really is the last, we're gonna look at the last 11 psukim here.
Okay.
Here, excuse me. And I'm going to start. This is the end of Perek Yudchet into the beginning of Perek Yudtet. And looking at them all together. Tachanunim yedaber rash. The poor man begs. Vashir yana azut, and the rich answer with arrogance. Ishrei'im, a man with many friends, lehitro'rea, and he's translating it, that there from as a kind of pun from re'im of friends, lehitro'rea will come to harm. He translates it here. We'll look at the word hitro'rea. Be'eshohev, dovek me'ach, and there is a lover, a friend who is closer, who sticks more than a brother. Then the next parak. Now the separation in paraks has nothing to do with the actual context. Again, this is kind of not a Jewish idea. This is the same paragraph. Tov rash lech tumo. Better a poor person who walks with integrity. Mekesh shvatav. Someone who is, he translates, perverse in his lips. Who warps his words. Who he does isn't truthful. Who conceal, that's a fool. Gam b'lo nefesh lo tov. And also someone without knowledge of themselves. Dot nefesh. Lo tov. It's not good. Atzbrod lying, someone who rushes with his legs, chote will sin. Yivilat adam tzalef darko, a man's foolishness distorts his way. Hashem yizef libo, and then he's going to get angry with God. Hon yosif re'im rabim, wealth increases friends. Bedal merehi pared, and the poor person will be separated from his friends. Eid shkarim lo yinakeh, a false witness will never be will not be forgiven, will not go unpunished. V'yafiach kazavim, and someone who speaks lies, lo yimaleit, will not be rescued, will not be saved. Rabim yachalu pnei nadiv, many ask a favor of the one who is generous. Kol hareya leish matan, and everyone's friends of a generous person, someone who gives. Kolache Rosh Sonehu, all the brothers of the poor person hate him. It's all about rich and poor people. Achmerehu Yirachumenu, and even his friends will be far from them. Bardefa Marim pursues them with words, Lohema, but they're not his. They're gone. Konele b'ohev nafsho, someone who acquires the heart, gets wisdom, loves himself. Shemer tvunah limso tov, who keeps understanding will find good. Eid shkarim lo yinakeh, a false witness, and this is the same phrase as we had before. Eid shkarim lo yinakeh, it's the same thing as Eid shkarim lo yinakeh up here. A false witness will not go unpunished. V'fiyah kezavim yoved, and the liar, someone who pours out lies, will be lost. And that's the end of the paragraph. Whole thing. And it seems to jump around on, right? Talk about the poor and the rich and making friends and not having friends, and then the bearing false witness, and especially the fact that this idea that the Eid shkarim lo yinakeh, the one who bears false witness will not go unpunished, goes with, is repeated again. So that's this kind of inclusio here between Eid shkarim lo yinakeh in Pasuk Hey and Eid shkarim lo yinakeh in Pasuk Tet. So it sounds like you're trying to make some kind of conclusion here, but trying to figure out what this is. And I want to try to pull this all together and associate with the rest of the kind of message of this paragraph. And we've looked at the previous paragraphs of this book. We talked about the first one centered on being charitz, taking your words seriously, being diligent, respecting other people by caring about what you say. And the second paragraph was about literally about money and also about using resources, investing in the world around you. That you have the reason why you have things is to be able to make the world a better place. That was the second paragraph. This paragraph is mostly about listening to others. You kind of get back that over and over again. Better to be quiet and listen. You don't know everything. You'll learn something by paying attention to other people. Now, I'm trying to figure out what that has to do with all of this, right? That the poor person pleads, the rich are arrogant, people with friends can come to harm, and the rich have lots of friends. What do you do with all that? Excuse me. Couldn't figure out how to tie it all together. And then there's no such thing as a coincidence. I just read a book called Wittgenstein's Poker. You know who Ludwig Wittgenstein was?
No, I'm
Dime.
wondering who he is. I know he's a philosopher, but don't
Anyway,
ask
there you go. Famous philosopher, Austrian, and moved to England, was at Cambridge, went to Norway. And this book called The Wittgenstein's Poker, that's this one over here. It's a story of a 10-minute argument between two great philosophers. And between Karl Popper, who we've mentioned before, one of his, we looked at his political views about the in the open society and its enemies, about being tolerant and not tolerating those who are not tolerating those who are not tolerant. But he also was a philosopher of science. He's one of talks about science being all about falsification, and he had a debate with Wittgenstein in Cambridge University in 1946. And this is the story of Wittgenstein's poker, so about a fireplace poker. Popper's account can be found as an autobiography on the unended quest. According to this version of events, Popper put forth a series of what he insisted were real philosophical problems. Wittgenstein summarily dismissed them all. Popper recalled that Wittgenstein had been nervously playing with the fireplace poker, which he used like a conductor's baton to emphasize his assertions. So this is in 46. They have a fire running in the fireplace. He's picking up this red hot poker and he's waving it around trying to make his point. And when a question came up about the status of ethics, Wittgenstein challenged him to give an example of a moral rule. I replied, Popper says, not to threaten visiting lectures with pokers. And everybody laughed. Whereupon Wittgenstein, in a rage, threw the poker down and stormed out of the room, banging the door behind him. And that's Popper's memoirs of it. According to those who were there, Popper wasn't quite so clever about the making a comment about the fireplace poker. He thought only thought of this bon mot, this clever comment, after Wittgenstein had left. But the nature of that argument between the two of them was about what's meaningful to talk about in philosophy. As Wittgenstein is famous as a philosopher of language. And he insisted that the only meaningful statements that you can make were statements of observable, falsifiable, verifiable facts. Anything else was just babble. And it was better not to say anything at all. So his first book, which was called the Tractatus Logico Philosophicus, which sounds philosophical, doesn't it? Ends with a line of, whereof one cannot speak, thereof one must be silent. If you can't say anything intelligent, don't say anything at all. Which only sounds like good advice, but his argument that there's nothing intelligent you can say about philosophy.
That's so interesting. When I saw Wittgenstein's poker, I was thinking of like poker as in the card game
Yeah,
poker.
that's what I thought too. It wasn't. No, he was notorious for having no tolerance for other people and get very impatient. But he was also just gesticulating with this fireplace poker.
Okay.
But Wittgenstein later decided, this was published in the 30s, He decided that things were worse than that. And that the problem with this is a summary of his position, that the problem with logical analysis is that demands too much precision, both in the definition of words and their representation of logical structure. That not only could you not say anything intelligent about things that weren't facts, you couldn't even say anything about facts, so his language wasn't precise enough. The hope of developing an ideal formal language that accurately pictures the world was not only impossibly difficult, but also wrong-headed. There is no reason to hope that any better versions of these basic positions would ever come along. Claims to have achieved a correct final analysis of language are invariably mistaken, since philosophical problems arise from the intellectual bewilderment induced by the misuse of language. The only way to resolve them is to use examples from ordinary language to deflate the pretensions of traditional thought. The only legitimate useful for philosophy then is a kind of therapy, a remedy for the bewitchment of human thought by philosophical language. He made all the other philosophers really upset by saying that they're all just nonsense. But it was more than that. Right? It's misleading to even attempt to fix the meaning of particular expressions by linking them referentially to things in the world. The meaning of a world or phrase or proposition is nothing more than a set of informal rules governing the use of expression in actual life. Like the rules of a game, Wittgenstein argued, these rules for the use of ordinary language are neither right nor wrong, true or false. They're merely useful for the particular applications we apply to them. So that was the argument between Popper, who wants to say we have these philosophical problems. Wittgenstein says, no, you're just playing games, the language puzzles. But he concludes from the fact that there's no precise way of speaking language, so that we can never communicate what we actually feel or think. Language is supposed to get I have my thoughts in my head, and I'm supposed to get them into your head, and that's why I'm talking to you, but it doesn't work. There's no way to communicate. Language is a game we play with each other. Wittgenstein argues against the possibility of a private language, which culminates in the position that all subjective experiences or sensations are not communicable. Thus, language must be doing something else other than communicating inner experiences with its words that seem to refer to these inner experiences. So, what does that have to do with Mishle? That's where I'm going to go back to. So, what does it mean? I can never communicate with you. You can never communicate with me. I can never understand what you're thinking. That's Wittgenstein's argument. And so, our psukim start with Tachanunim Yedaber Rosh, that the poor man pleads, Bashir Yana Azut, and the rich answers arrogantly, harshly. And this doesn't sound like ethical advice, doesn't sound like a good thing. So Malbim does take it as ethics, but then he has to warp the meaning of Yaneh, answering. And he says it means really control. This is Malbim Tachanunim Yedaber Rosh. Im HaRosh Medaber Tachanunim Mitchanen. So if the poor person speaks pleadingly, asking for something, then the rich person should literally speak to his own azut, to his own arrogance, and try to humble it, bring it down. That even if he naturally would have been arrogant to this poor person, it should bring his nature under control, to fulfill the wishes, the desires of the poor person. Which again doesn't quite fit the meaning of the pasuk of Yaaneh. But my thought here, the thing about Wittgenstein, is that Wittgenstein is wrong. Okay? That it's not that we can that no one can ever understand somebody else. But he may have been right about himself, right? He didn't understand other people. The whole poker incident and threatening Popper with it, not realizing what he was doing. That's typical. But there are people who can't understand others. And there are people who lack any, what I would call social intelligence, okay? That there's a spectrum. We know that. Like the far end of it, we call that the autistic spectrum, the disorder. From having social intelligence, not having social intelligence, not understanding other people, being in your own world, to the other extreme, the person who can walk into a room full of strangers and is instantly best friends with everybody. I'm not that person. We own the people who are. And I think that's the metaphor here that connects with the idea of having friends, is that that the rich and the poor are those rich and poor in that social intelligence and understanding other people, where they're coming from. And that's why the poor, in the sense, is pleading, is begging for friends, doesn't know the words to say. And this one who's rich, who does understand, is arrogant in the sense he just walks in and he's best friends with everybody. So the next pasuk is Ishrei'im, the person with friends. That's the Ashir, that's the rich. Yisra'eya, which you could read as being, will make himself with have friends, Hitra'eya, but that's not real, that necessarily real friendship. Hitra'eya, excuse me. There's a pun between re'im, friends, and yareya, to make oneself, to make it bad, and it means to be rotten. This is the dictionary translate that hitra'eya is to become shaken, cracked, or become defective. So the Gemara says this. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, lo olam al yer bat adam re'im betoch beto. Person shouldn't have too many friends in their house, as it says, ish re'im le'yareya, that you'll come to harm. Just the number isn't what counts. Facebook friends aren't real friends. And this is what Rashi translates that an Ishrei. Oh, that's a Malbim, rather. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Kfar Amro Machakrim, that scientists, psychologists will say, Ki akone ohavim rabim, someone who has many, many friends, afilu echad eino, doesn't really have any. Ki ahava yechida, he that, because love, friendship has to is required dedication. It's only for one, it can be for one person. And if you're just increasing it with everybody, then it's lost. Someone who has, feels they have met, huge numbers of friends, but met ain those aren't friends, not the casual acquaintances. But yesh or hev, davek me'ach, there is a friend who's closer than a brother. As he says, "Im yesh lo ohev echad az devek me'ach." Having one close friend that's closer than family, zegedar abad. That's the definition of love. Shetikadel al kol avot gam me'avat achim, will be closer than your relationship with family. That's what friendship's all about. But still, if I'm this rush, how do I? What do I do? I can't connect with other people. So he says the next two psukim. Tov rush. Halech betumo. Be honest. Keep your integrity. It's better than ikesh svatav, than warping your words, lying, flattery, bukasil, because that's just foolish. Gam b'lo da'at nefesh lo tov, and not having knowledge of yourself. Know who you really are. It's bad not to. Bas raglayim, and don't jump. Don't try to rush things when they shouldn't be rushed. As the atzbrag love is in yamihirut, rushing too fast. Don't push things too hard. That's how you get close to other people. You can't push it. You can't lie, and that just makes you miserable. The next pasuk is avilat adam tisalef darko. Person's foolishness subverts his way. You'll make mistakes. V'Hashem yizaf lipo, and you'll just get angry with God. As Rashi says, bavano bolara. You make mistakes. Bad things will happen. Because within your foolishness, as he says, you will subvert your way. You'll do the wrong thing. You'll sin. And you'll be punished. And when he gets upset, when this trouble comes, rather, because of your avelut, because foolishness, you become upset with Hashem. You start complaining to the Midah Din, go to Yosef. Example of Yosef's brothers. When Yosef accused them of being spies, they say, Ma'azoda Sal Kimana, why did God do this to us? You're gonna end up blaming God for what's really your fault. So Shlomo summarizes in the next pasuk, Hon Yosefrei Rabim. Having wealth in this sense of wealthy, of having this net, intuitive knowledge of what other people think and feel, Yosefrei Re'im Rabim will have many friends, Vidal Mere Pared, but being poor, that you'll lose friends. You won't have any sense of, you won't be able to connect to other people. And I think fundamentally, though, Wittgenstein is right. We're all rushed in that sense. We can't really understand under other people. That's because every human being is infinitely deep, right? You have an inner self that you can't put into words. Therefore, you can't communicate. Therefore, I can't understand you, not completely. I can never fully know another person. There's no one who's really a sheer in that sense. Therefore, if you're using that kind of intuitive sense of knowing other people, then you're going to end up just with superficial friends. And this idea that others are infinitely deep and you can never truly know them brings us to Emmanuel Levinas. Remember Levinas? Don't remember, right? It's our favorite ethical philosopher. And he famously distinguishes between totality and infinity. If I see someone else as a totality, I mean all of them, meaning I think I can see all of you and I understand you completely, that's wrong. The distinction between totality and infinity divides a limited world, which contains the other as a material body, the other being you're just that thing right over there, from the spiritual world, which subjects gain access to the spiritual world of infinity by opening themselves to the otherness of the other, capital O there, accepting that the other person is different. So Wittgenstein and Levinas agree that we can never express what we're thinking and feeling, and therefore we can never know what others are thinking and feeling inside. We're all in this position of being a rush, of not having friends in that sense. So Wittgenstein says that therefore philosophy is impossible. Stop talking. Levinas says no. What it means is that philosophy has to start with ethics. That if I'm going to talk to someone else about whatever it is we're talking about, I have to understand that I don't fully understand you. And I have an obligation to treat you with that kind of respect of infinite, someone's infinite. The only thing we know about others is that we do not know the other. Me.
But is that you can be fond of somebody even if you don't quote know all that person.
No, but part of you have to treat the person as though you don't know them. If you claim to know the other person completely, then you're gaslighting.
Well, when you say gas, what do you mean by gaslighting?
And I'm telling you what you really think. You don't really know everything about you. I know you better than you know
No.
yourself. That's gaslighting.
But can you be a friend of somebody who you don't, can you extend yourself to someone you don't quote know according to
Yes,
this?
that's Levinas's point. You have to, because there is no, you don't know the other person completely, no matter how close you are, that you're always in that relationship. So yes,
You can say that about yourself. You don't really know yourself.
that's a problem too. But you can try to know yourself. You can think about yourself, but you have to acknowledge that the other person has depths that you're not aware of.
Okay.
That's Levinas's first step in dealing with others. And yes, that's right. Your friendship has to start from that assumption. I don't know you completely, right? Again, claiming to do that is claim to do that intentionally is the gaslighting. I'm making you doubt yourself there. And that's what he talks here about the ed shkarim lo yinakeh, that a false witness will not go unpunished. V'yafiach kesavim, so you're exhaling lies. Every breath is a lie every time I do that to you. That, excuse me. I mean, gaslighting is when it's meant to be abusive.
Say witness, when you're saying, sometimes if you see something, you're supposed to be a witness. But if you can't know anything completely, then even if you see something, you're not really sure in terms of the context what you saw.
Right. And that's exactly where we're going to go with this. Okay. Gemara talks about that in concept of Yosef and his brothers, slandering his brothers. He does exactly that. He sees something and brings the news. He means he's misinterpreting it. And that's the Eid Shkarim part. It's not necessarily intentional, but it's assuming you know something you don't know. Assuming.
Because we're all limited.
Yes. And that's why it's Eid Shkarim. So being aware of that yes, you testify, there are places where you have to testify and you have to admit you've seen the things you saw, but know that you're limited.
So you have to express your humility as far as that goes too.
Right. And that's what this is all about. That you are imperfect. That's okay. You're in your relationship with others, which is really what ethics is all about. It's okay to know that, and you should know that. And that's the age career million I kept. If you're lying about what you know, you're not realizing your limitations, then you million I kept, you will not be left unpunished. It will not be acquitted. Not be you will not be declared. Well, we will not be innocent. Bad things will happen, and then he continues. Rabim yachalu adiv, and people will look to one who is generous, call a rea ish matan, and everyone's a friend of someone who's giving. That's the way to true degeneracy, true friendship. Not so much the knowing other people, because you can be friendly, understand other people, get them to think that you're friends, doesn't make you a good person. We've talked about con men before. That idea of having this perfect social intelligence, understanding what other people need, and using that to abuse them. That a con man is essentially a salesman or a remarkably good one who excels at making them feel special and understood. Con man validates the victim's desire to believe he has an edge on other people. It's an amazing paradox. A con man has incredible emotional insight without the burden of compassion. And so the next pasuk Zion says, "Kol achei rush sonehu," but there's a po the again the brother the bro all the brothers of this poor person who doesn't have this social doesn't have this emotional connection with other people will hate him. Af ki mireyu rachu menu, even his friends will distance themselves from him. But mardef amarim lo hema, and he chases with words, and they are lo hema. And it's a kriyukativ here between lo meaning not and lo meaning his. It's written with an aleph, but it's pronounced as lo with a vav there. So it's either running with the words. You chase it with words, and they're either are his or not his. And this kriyukativ between lo and lo happens a couple of times in Tanakh. And we looked at it before when it occurs in Tehillim. Mizmor Todah, they say it's part of Pasuk Zimra. And it says, Duke Hashem Hulakim, know that God is the Lord. Hu asanu, he made us. Below anachnu. And both of those are written, lo anachnu, he made us, and we did not make ourselves. And below anachnu, and we are his. The not and his are both of the Jews are true, right? Lo anachnu is a ketiv. Who has God made us, not us, is about creation. Hashem created the world, and therefore we serve Hashem. And the lo anachnu, we are his, is about relationship. Not merely Hashem created the world, but also made us his people. We are amo b'tzom b'rito. That's over there. Here also, this idea that this fricative, that when you chase someone's words, it doesn't help. It's lo hema, they're not there. And lo hema, they belong to you, meaning they bounce back on you. If you try to lie, you're an eid sheker, the consequences will rebound to affect you. And that's what Chazal talked about the story of Yosef and the idea of what you talked about witnessing things and misinterpreting them. Jimmy. This Rashi Mardif Amarim Lohema. Midrash Potro Yosef. The Midrash connects that to Yosef. Shemotzi al Chavdiba, who slandered his brothers. And it gives the three things the Midrash mentions. Aviv, and he told them that they were eating Eber eating from an unslaughtered animal. That's why they hated him, Rush, and he's called Rush poor here, because he's lying about them. He just doesn't get what they're doing. And the minister says that no, they weren't really, it wasn't actually Eber Menachai. Another way of reading it is that the Amarim Lohema, and that so therefore his words didn't help. B'lien Yosef lo hema with a vav, meaning it came back to him, that he accuses them of Eber Menachai, And they prove he's wrong by slaughtering a goat and using the blood to convince,
And it's her dad
the
that
blood
he passed
on his the multicolored coat and telling his father that there he was killed. Right? He loved Chazru that his own slander came back on him. There's a midah keneged midah. You omer shein ochli meiver nachai. Excuse me. My voice went. Afilu and the pasuk says that even when they were at their worst moment, they actually slaughtered the animal. Wasn't it Rachai? And similarly, the Medrash says that he accused them of mocking the Bnei Shvachot, the daughters of the maidservants, and then he ends up being a slave himself. Umar Aretz, he accuses them of consorting with the Canaanite women, and he ends up being nearly seduced by Bat Potiphar. His words come back at himself. It's Lohema that doesn't help, and Lohema with a Vav, they will come back. They will belong to the person who says them. Don't lie, don't be an Eid Sheker, and then know yourself. So it continues with Kaneh Lev Ohev Nafsho. Someone with understanding is someone who loves himself. Only way we can understand other people is to realize that I have to realize that I have this infinite depth and understand that others are infinite deep as well. I don't know you, but I realize that just like I have this wealth of experiences, so do you. And that's what ahavta l'reacha kamocha means, right? To love my rea, the friend here, like myself. I have to understand myself, and that's the first step. And then I can understand others. And so, kaneh lev ohev nafsho, that the wise person, the one who loves himself, and shomer tevunah limtzot tov, and uses that understanding to find good. And concluding, eid shkarim lo yinakeh, the one who bears false witness, who claims to know things they don't, will never see that happiness. Will not go unpunished. It'll be a fiat kizavim yoved, and the one who lies will be lost. And that ends this entire paragraph. That's all about trying to relate to other people. Realize that you don't know everything. Realize that other people have something to teach, to show you, and you can relate to that. And we will stop here, and I will try to figure out what my computer is trying to do to me.
Thank you, Danny.
Danny, that was really interesting how you
Yeah.
pulled that all together. That was wild. And how you brought in those philosophers to put other levels of it. Wow. Cool.
Awesome.
Glad
Hopefully.
your computer started to
Oh,
do something right.
this is not my computer. This is my wife's computer. I have no idea
Wow.
what's going on.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you,
I may have to
Sarah.
buy another computer now.
Yeah, something went very wrong.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Have a
you.
good
Have a
night.
great night. Good
You're
night. Bye.
welcome.